And if you listen closely, or you don't have to listen closely, if you just listen, you'll hear this whizzing, crashing, banging noise, and it's this, right before us at the moment, I've got Mick, Greg, and Simone. The greyhound has just caught the arm and the lure. I think this is to a little bit of practice. Simone Fisher first. How are you, Simone?
Oh, I'm great. Thanks, Matt. Yeah, it's wonderful to be here this morning. A little bit different to my normal morning routine.
That's right.
But it's fantastic.
Yeah, what have we just witnessed then?
Okay, so this greyhound had a trial here. This could be a pup. It could be a greyhound coming back from injury. We don't know. This trial was out of the boxes. So you're gauging a time on how this greyhound has run. The time's come up on the clock. You see the first section there, 5:23. 19:58 down the back, and the overall time will come up. So this will give the trainer some indication of where this greyhound is in its preparation. As we all saw, it caught the lure. That's the whole idea. It's giving it a reward at the end. And I always love when the greyhounds get the lure. Their tails are wagging furiously. They just they know that that's a reward, and they love to do this and love to chase. So we didn't get an overall time there, but Greg had a bit of a hand gesture that probably wasn't the quickest.
Okay, hang on. No, clarifying. You gave the Julius Caesar thumbs down at the time then, didn't you?
A young pup.
All right, the Seven Four board's in full view. Greg Miller, of course, is the CEO of the Sandown Greyhound Racing Club. How are you, Greg?
Yeah, great, Matt, and thanks for coming here, RSN. It's great to have you here.
Oh, it's great to be here. It's an exciting time as we start to count the days now. We've got the heats tomorrow night and the final next Friday night and a few trialers, so there's a little buzz about the place, isn't there?
Absolutely, yeah. No, it's a great time of year. We love this time of year, the opportunity to showcase greyhound racing in what's normally the colder months, but we stand alone in this period, which is good.
They just sprung open there. It was like a trap. Hangman traps, it sounded like, and the greyhound has just taken off at a gazillion miles an hour. And just one thing, Greg, as well, is when you come on race, it's like seeing horses draw. When you come on race night, there's a lot of distractions. You don't get to see the clarity of the, you know, the speed and beauty of the actual greyhound. But when you see it in isolation, you really realise how quick they go, don't you?
Yeah, absolutely you do. And I think Simone also nailed it on the head when she said they love to run. You can see that when you watch them one out like you see now. You see their tails wagging. You know they love to run. There's some distractors who say we're forcing them to run. Well, we're not. Have a look at this.
Well, they're individuals on days like this. They're not the blue box or the sick or the green box. Now, just a quick one, Greg. A couple of quick points before we move along. There was a story in The Age which has been like a. You know, there's a couple of key words in here. This was in the Age on Monday regarding the possible sale or. You know, not suggested by the Melbourne Racing Club, but the language of the story from the VPA, which is the Victorian Planning Authority, about Sandown Racecourse across the road, pre-planning for a new suburb and so on. And part of that pre-planning involves a little bit of the Sandown precinct here across the railway track, including the car park. What's your take on this story? And is there any development here? Is there anything looming?
It's a bit of an old story, actually, Matt. The Victorian Planning Authority did speak to us a few years back, and they can fast-track things. They can make suburbs happen. But we also had consultation with the Minister for Transport, Jacinta Allen, who wanted to use that same area that they wanted to develop for car parking for the railway station. And that's who we've gone with. We've gone with VicTrack.
You were a bit of a pawn between
the
two things.
No, we had developers who certainly wanted to develop that land, and it was a great opportunity financially for the club. But we also have a social conscience for the people who want to use the train line. And we spoke to council and we spoke to the Minister for Transport, and we're now going with a far improved car park for the patrons of the trains.
And if any inkling across the road at the big Sandown racetrack, whether there's any advancement of any plans there at all?
No, that's their business, we leave it to them. But that's a massive area, though, isn't it? It is a suburb.
Yes. Well, hopefully not. Hopefully it just looks like one. Now another greyhound has just whizzed out, and he's trialling as well. And that, Simone, that was a black greyhound as well. I remember talking to Robbie Britton out here a couple of years ago. Because of the evolution of the breeding, most of them are the same colour these days, aren't they?
Oh, I think black is definitely the most common colour. People do, when they're adopting them as pets, love to have the blues and the fawn and whites and perhaps a brindle. But you could always think black dogs go faster. I don't know.
What do you reckon, Mick? Mick Floyd's still here. I think they're predominantly a dominant colour now, aren't they?
Yeah, I think it is. Genetically, I think it's a dominant colour. But with the emergence of Fernando Bale as the amazing sire he's a fantastic race dog, but his impact as studs probably bigger than what is on the track, which is phenomenal in itself. But he's throwing a lot of different coloured dogs now, a lot of white dogs, a lot of black and white blues.
You want them to be like a pack of M&Ms, don't you? Okay. All right. Hey, so, Greg, Your reign here has been over such a period now where you've ridden out a few eras, and there was a pretty particularly bleak one a few handful of years ago, the Four Corners report, then the ripple effect, and then the noose hung over greyhound racing in all states for quite some time before a reprieve and some clawing out. So just some reflections on that era and where greyhound racing is at right now.
It was a dark time for all of us, but the government acted quickly. They put a new board in, new CEO, a whole change of management. The concentration was on welfare and integrity. So I think we got that right. The rehoming part of greyhound racing is now, you know, fantastic. It's all greyhounds, if they want to be rehomed, there's people out there looking for them. So I think they've done a real good job in that area. I think we've done the full cycle. The integrity side of it, we've spent a lot of money on that side of it to make sure the sport is looked at favourably by the punter.
In retrospect, was that underfunded?
Definitely. It takes sometimes a crisis to realise where you should be and what you need to do. And that's happened, and we've turned the corner particularly. I think the grand racing's starting to ride a real crest of the wave. Now we'll see some real money spent on marketing the sport, and both through digitally and through TV and radio. You'll see a big influx of spending in grand racing. Now we've turned the corner.
Well, that's the thing, isn't it? It's one thing to claw your way out and hold your ground, but another one to be confident enough to promote what you're offering, and that is the next phase, is it? And Mick, you're obviously that's your area of area as well out here, is to actually start promoting the sport, not just being survival mode.
Oh, absolutely. And you know, the people involved and the greyhounds themselves, they're fantastic stories to be told there. And now for us to move forward, we need to start telling those stories and getting that there.
That's right, Simone, isn't it? I had an hour with Chris Alford in the studio talking about harness racing yesterday. It was wonderful to talk about the characters rather than just the numbers and the betting turnover and so on. And I think greyhound racing certainly has that to offer as well, doesn't it?
We sure do. And look, some of the stories that I do on Talking Greyhounds on a Saturday morning, I could sit and talk to people for an hour as well, Matt, because there are some wonderful backstories, the history, and we've only scratched the surface. And I think we really need to embrace this now, because there's a lot of people who have got amazing stories from back in, the 50s and 60s, and it's going to be lost one day, and we really need to harness that. And I think now's probably the time that we can start promoting some of those stories or getting them out there and just generating people's interest. Years ago, apparently greyhounds were taken on trains to the tracks in the cabot, like the cargo part of the trains, and they'd arrive at the track and hop back on and go home. Where are these stories? I think people would love to hear them, and it makes it more realistic for the general public as well. It's something that they can relate to then. Oh, really? Taking a dog on a train. We're not allowed to take dogs on trains.
Only Lassie had been a greyhound. like a little Jimmy's fallen down the well and then the greyhound goes to save him. I'll tell you, the guy who's standing to the right of us over there, he's one of these guys, Neil Brown, who can tell these stories because he's lived it and he's breathed it and he's got all these anecdotes.
He's very old.
He's very old is basically what I'm saying. And he's, a little bit later on, he's going to tell us some lovely stories, and as is Simone. Greg, just one last thing while we've got you here. One of the great hooks for greyhound racing these days is the prize money. The first million-dollar greyhound was only about 4 or 5 years ago. Now they're just queuing up.
And also races, of course. You've got the million-dollar races. You've got the Melbourne Cup. There's about $115 million Australian-wide is the prize money, which is fantastic. And the opportunity to get into greyhound racing through syndications now, Matt, is so easy. We've now, through Greyhound Syndication Solutions, anyone who's interested in racing a greyhound, please ring me at the club. We've now got syndications on offer. You can get involved so easily. And it's with $115 million available around Australia, there's plenty to be won.
Absolutely. It's just as an aside, and this is more of a gap conversation, I was down at Warrnambool about a month and a half ago to plan for the Warrnambool Carnival, the May Carnival, and I was with one of the guys, it might have even been Matty True. We were noticing, who's assembled this lovely stage today, every second person was walking a greyhound. And I kept thinking to myself, I wonder if it's earned $1 million. I wonder if it's one of those ones. But Mick Floyd's given us a list here. So number 14 on the list at the moment is Tornado Tears, who's got $638,000. Mick, what does he get to if he wins the Sandown Cup?
Yeah, with the heat money as well. If he wins the heat and final, he gets him to about $820,000, so into seventh place overall, which is 820,000. That's seventh. That speaks volumes.
Fan of Bale's number one at 1.3 million. Fernando Bale, 1.2. Dinah Double One, 1.1. Mystic Wright, 1. And then Sweetedis and a few others who just were knocking on the door. Greg, any impending prize money announcements or anything like that?
Well, I'm not sure we're mixed up to with that, because I leave it all up here, but I think the Melbourne Cup's going to be creeping up again. Mick, is that right?
It may be, yes.
Come on, Mick, give us the announcement. When's it going up?
I asked Mick about this earlier, and he blushed and looked at his feet. And said, I better talk to Greg about that.
No, he passed the buck. It is going up. Don't worry, Matt. We'll announce that soon.
Is it creeping up or marching up?
No, it's creeping up at this stage. We'll talk to the chairman. I've been asking the chairman for some more money. We'll see how we go here.
Well, the quasi-chairman's just joined the table as well. Neil Brown. How are you, Brownie?
I'm terrific, Matt. Great to be here this morning, and probably one of my favourite places in the world.
Nice. Some say Paris. Others say behind the 515-metre boxes at Sandown. Greg, thank you very much for coming on board and setting the scene for us. It's great that Greyhound Racing, it doesn't seem long ago that it was... really, really, really worrying times, but now look at this. It's wonderful, and the prize money's great, and I'm sure you'll get a lovely crowd next Friday night. So thank you.
Yeah, thanks, Matt.
Simone, don't you go anywhere. Don't you go anywhere, Pink. We're going to take a short break, and then